Habakkuk, the third chapter, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 958. And Habakkuk is some 30 to 35 pages after the book of Daniel. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of this passage. We'll read the verses in unison, all of us joining together in reading these three verses. So begin with me, please, with verse 17. Ready? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. And let's pray. Father, we need what is here today. We need what has already been expressed in these messages of song. We need the fellowship. We need our communion together in a spirit of prayer. But now we need the message. More important than anything else is thy word as spoken to us and as we're about to hear. And we pray that you'd bless us with keen attention upon that which you've prepared, which you've given to the man of God for the people of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, Lord, why are you doing nothing? Lord, why are you doing nothing? I was reliving the year, both in my life and your lives and the life of our church, as I always do in the month of December, and try to decipher what God is doing. And I thought of that maybe this message, I thought of this passage, and I thought this message might be, well, I felt like it is the one that God wants us to center our attention on for this hour. If 1984 has held some puzzles for you, if 1984 has held some tears for you, if 1984 has found you wondering why this happened or why that happened, I want to talk to you this morning. I want all of us to listen attentively. But I especially want to talk to those who said this year, why? This well could be a sermon for the last Sunday of the year. But at the last Sunday of the year, oftentimes some folks are not here because of holidays and backsliding, and others are not here because of other reasons, and the college students have gone for their break. And so I'm bringing this morning sort of an end-of-the-year message on the subject, Lord, why are you doing nothing? One of the most amazing stories in all the Bible. It finds the man of God rejoicing uncontrollably when he had not one single purpose that we would call justifiable for rejoicing. Our Heavenly Father, bring to our hearts and our minds this great truth that thou hast for us today in a special, special way. In Jesus' name, amen. May I have your undivided attention, please, all over the house, every eye focused this way, and every mind on the Word of God for these few moments. What a story. This, to me, one of the most startling in the Bible. Here is a child of God rejoicing vigorously. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And that term there, any way you look at it, says, I will jump up and down for joy in the Lord. Are you listening? I will jump up and down in the Lord. Then he says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. You know what he's saying there? Any way you look at the original or the language used, I will spin around in the God of my salvation. He was so happy. Now get this. He was so happy. He was jumping up and down and spinning around. I mean, that's how happy he was. I'm going to shock you, though, when I tell you why he was happy. Here is a child of God rejoicing to the extent, you know, you've been happy, but you've been beside yourself happy. I mean, jumping up and down and clicking your heels and just spinning around. And here is Habakkuk doing exactly that. Jumping up and down, clapping his hands, spinning around for joy. But notice why. Let me read you why. The fig tree shall not blossom. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the field, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Now look at me. This is why he's rejoicing. You say, hold it, preacher. You say, look at me now. Hey, look at me. You say, he's rejoicing because God is with him in this famine? No. He's rejoicing because there's no food on the table. Oh, you say, hold it now, preacher. Hold it now. He's rejoicing because even though there's no food on the table, he had the word of God. No. He's rejoicing not in his trouble. He's rejoicing because of his trouble. He's rejoicing because there's no fruit on the vine. He's rejoicing because the herd is not in the stall. He's rejoicing because there's no rain. He's rejoicing because of the bad times, as we count bad times. Now, you say, preacher, why would this Christian jump up and down? Look, I'm not talking about a fellow saying, glory to God, his grace is sufficient. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about saying, glory to God, I'm hungry. Rejoicing about the fact that he's hungry. Now, I've never done that. I've never in my life said, thank God, I don't have anything to eat. I never have. But he was. I lived as a child in the Depression years. I mean, I don't mean folks on food stamps now. The people on food stamps, well, for that matter, they probably eat better than we do, but now. But the poverty of today would be the plenty of the recession or depression day. I live there. Now, my mama would say to me, son, God is our God, and we praise him in spite of our difficulties, but that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, I am praising God because I'm hungry. I thank God because I have nothing. I thank God because of depression. I praise God because of famine. I praise God. Now, why in the world would these conditions cause him to rejoice? Is the guy nutty? Is he crazy? Is he tipsy? What's wrong with the guy? Here's the guy saying, no. We stand up and say, glory to God, I thought I was not going to have any Christmas, and on Christmas morning, God sent somebody by and provided. How I praise the Lord. But here's a fellow says, it was Christmas morning, we had nothing to eat, we had no Christmas, and nobody came by. Thank God that nobody came by. We say, thank God, we didn't have a job, but a false sought one, and God gave me a job. How I thank God he gave me a job. Here's a fellow who was saying, I didn't have a job. I looked for a job. I did not get a job. I have no money. I have no food. And praise God, I didn't get a job. Now look at me. And folks, everybody in this room needs to diligently attend to this truth this morning. Listen carefully.
Habakkuk had looked to God
and said, God, why are you doing nothing?
Lord, you're not doing a thing. Why are you doing nothing? I mean, Lord, there's no open revelation. I don't hear from you. Why are you doing nothing? Why don't you hear me? He said that. He said, why don't you hear me? You don't hear me when I pray. Lord, why are you doing it? And God told him. He said, Habakkuk, you may think I'm not doing anything, but I am still working. And he said, you just live. By the way, the scripture here, the just shall live by faith, it comes from right here. God is saying, if you don't think I'm doing anything, you still believe me, I'm doing something. And brother, you may not think God is working today, but God is working. And America may not think that God's judgment's going to come and that God is not working His judgment on America, but America, God's working. And God says, He says, now look, Habakkuk, He said, I'm working. You can't see me work. You don't know I work. Brother Randy, turn it down one cooler, one notch, would you please? And you don't know I'm working. You don't see me working. But he said, Habakkuk, I am working. And I'm talking to folks this morning who looked up to God and you said, God, why aren't you doing anything? God says, I'm doing something. Listen to me, folks. We make God accountable to us for His actions. And that's not right. We want God to do those things that we, with our finite minds, think God ought to do. But the truth is, that's idolatry. You can't expect God to do what you would do if you were God, because you're not God, and if you were God, you would not be human anymore, and you'd do what God does. We can't make God accountable to us, and whether you know it or not, God is working. God is still on His throne. And God says to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, you don't see me work. I can't tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing, but Habakkuk, trust me, and that's exactly where the scripture comes. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live believing that God is working. We can't see Him work. We don't know what He's doing. We don't think He's doing anything. But we, by faith, believe God is working because God said He is. Habakkuk comes back and says, God, I can understand it. I'm puzzled. He says, revive thy work in the midst of the years. I've heard preachers preach on that, and I probably have myself, which means, Lord, revive the church. Doesn't say that. It says, revive thy work. He's not saying, revive thy people. He's saying, revive thy work. He's saying, God, start working again. He said, dear God, why are you doing nothing? Can't you see the inequities? Can't you see the injustice? Can't you see what's going on down here? Why are you doing nothing? And God comes back and God says, I am at work. Now trust me, the just shall live by faith. And Habakkuk comes back and says, I can understand it. I'm puzzled. Lord, revive thy work. Start your work. Work again, dear God. You do something. And God says, now listen carefully. God says, I can't show you now. Does God have to show you now to get you to believe Him? Does God have to convince you every day He's still there? Does God have to answer to you what He does and why He does what He does? Habakkuk said, God, why are you doing nothing? And God said, Habakkuk, I'm not doing nothing. I'm doing something. Well, God started up, and He said, I'm doing it, Habakkuk, but I can't tell you what I'm doing right now. It's got to be a secret to you. Habakkuk, live by faith. Believe I'm working, even though I can't tell you what I'm doing. And then Habakkuk says, okay, I believed and waited patiently. And God, hear me carefully, this is the sermon. God came back to Habakkuk. God spanked him. He took away his food. He took away his health. He took away his cattle. He took away his, and he sent a famine and spanked him. And Habakkuk said, glory to God. I'd rather have him working like this than not working at all. He said, at least I know he's there. Well, when he got his paddle down and turned me over his knee and started paddling me, it didn't feel very good, but I'd rather have that than not know He's there. And God said, Habakkuk, bend over me now. What? 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 And Nehemiah said, that hurts so good. He said, boy, that feels great. He said, dear God, He said, I know you're there. And he jumped up and down and said, praise the Lord. He's not doing what I wish he'd do, but at least I know he's there. He's spanking me. I must still be his child. I must still be born again. And he spins around and he says, whoa, glory to God. Praise the Lord. And he said, God is still alive. And that's what the whole thing is about here. He's rejoicing because he's spanking me. He says he's going to use me again. He's still there. Now hear me carefully. You are somewhere in this story. Somewhere between Habakkuk saying, Lord, why are you doing nothing? And between his jumping up and down, turning around, clapping his hands and saying, praise God, you're working. Somewhere between those two sit most of the people in this room this morning. Now look at me. Listen. Some of you are a place you can't see God work. You don't see God doing a solitary thing. You know you're right in some issue. You know you've done right. You know you love God. You know you're trying to serve Him. You know it. And you can't see it turning out like you think is right. And you look up and say, God, where are you? Why are you doing nothing? Now listen to me, folks. God does not have to fill out a daily report to you to justify His deeds. Nor does God have to send a telegram to you every day to say, I'm still working. He said, Habakkuk, He said, while you are wondering where I'm working, I'm still working. And while you're looking up and saying, God, why are you doing nothing? I'm not doing nothing. I'm doing something. And some of you this morning, look, good night. I'm down here on the same world you're on. I'm stuck here too. I'm going around in space like you are. I'm dizzy like you are. I mean, I'm down here. I'm flesh like you are. You pinch me, it hurts. If I don't use some binocular, my breath won't smell good. If I don't use some deodorant, my body won't smell good. I'm like you are. I mean, I have my doubts, and I have my frustrations, and I have my tears. And sometimes I say, dear God, won't you do something, God? I don't understand it. Won't you do something? And God says, I am doing something. Just believe I am. Let me say this morning, God doesn't have to show a ripple on the water to have been on the water. And God doesn't have to show you a blowing cloud for His wind to be blowing. And God does not have to prove to you He's working. And if this morning you're where Habakkuk was, you said, dear God, I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. Why don't you do something, God? You just look up to heaven and say, God, I don't see you. I can't feel you. I don't know what you're doing. I can't feel you doing a thing. As far as I'm concerned, I can't see you doing one solitary thing. But I'm going to believe you're there. That's what it means. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live when they can't see God. They believe He's there. The just shall live when they can't see what God is doing. They believe He's working. The just shall live by faith in there is a God. He is working. I may not know it. I may not see it. I may not understand it. But God is on His throne. And He is. Now the second folks this morning who are here, there are those who are here this morning, like Habakkuk, you don't think God hears you. It seems like the heavens have turned to brass. And you've cleaned out everything in your spiritual life that you know ought to be cleaned out. And as far as you know, you've met every condition of God's promises. Listen to me, folks. Hear me now. In 1984, you've done the best you can to be what God wanted you to be. And to do what God wanted you to do. And yet you cried to God for an answer. And you begged Him and you pleaded. And you begged Him and you pleaded. You had no answer. Just keep on praying. The light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. You know, folks, God wants somebody to believe He's there even if He doesn't prove Himself every day. God wants somebody to say to your God, I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't see you doing anything. I don't even know you're there. And but God, I believe you are. And I believe you're working. And dear God, I don't have any answer to my prayer. And I don't understand why I don't. But dear God, I still believe you're God. And you're omniscient. And I'm human. And you know what's best. And
end. I'll just keep on begging you and keep on begging you and keep on begging you and keep on begging you. And I believe one of these days I'll hear. My mama used to say to me, a little two-room shack of a house. We didn't have much money, and we couldn't afford a radio. We couldn't afford anything much. We played little games. We used jigsaw puzzles. And my mom and I would be working a jigsaw puzzle, and boy, we'd get that thing and get almost down to the finish, and we'd find one piece with you. Boy, there's nothing. All the pieces are gone. I want to cut one out to put in there. All the pieces are gone, and one is missing. All of them used up. And I'd say, Mama, throw it away. My mom said, no, son, that piece of the jigsaw puzzle somewhere in his house. Just take that puzzle now and put it back in the box. And she said, one of these days, we're going to find it. And we do. We can put it all together. Well, I said, Mama, no need. One piece is missing. She'd say, son, don't throw it away. And then one day, Mama was sweeping or something. Or maybe the dog would throw up. Well, I don't know why I thought of that. You know, the mind is an amazing thing, isn't it? What brought that into my mind? I've got the foggiest idea. But my mama would say, hey, son, come here. I'd look down, and there was that piece. And this morning, the people I pastor are a weeping people because they're human. The people I pastor are burden-bearing people because they're flesh. The people I pastor are paining people because they're human. And the intricacies of life have caused it to be so that this morning seems like that the pressures have pulled down on you. And you say, dear God, hear my prayer. And you get everything all together. And then all of a sudden there's a piece missing. And you're prone to say, okay, throw the whole thing away. And God said, don't do it. We'll find that peace. We'll find that peace. And one of these days, you mark my word, you just keep on believing He's working. And you keep on bombarding the throne of grace with your prayers, even though no answer comes, and even though there's no visible sign of His working. And you say, dear God, why don't you do something? Why are you doing nothing? Why don't you answer my prayer? And God doesn't do it. And I know that we have a great host of groaning and travailing people in this room this morning. I know who they are. Look, it's easy. It's easy. This morning I got, yesterday afternoon I came back to the office and picked up a little piece of paper, and I rejoiced in it. Ms. McKinney had written me a note and said, you'll be glad to know that Steve Hall had a growth on his lung, and the growth was looked like it was serious, and said something has happened in the last few hours. The doctors checked, and that thing is evaporated, and he's all right. Everything's okay, and they believe God's performed a miracle. Folks, it's okay to shout then. But this guy is shouting back yonder when the cancer was still there and the growth was still growing. He was saying, dear God, why don't you work? And God says, I can't tell you what I'm doing. I wish I could, but if I told you what I'm doing, I couldn't finish it. You got to trust me, I'm working. And you got to do it. You got to look up to God and say, I can't see it. But God, you say you're working. I believe you're working. And God, I can't understand why the answer hasn't come. But I believe you're there. I think the answer will come, and the just must live by faith. Brother, what else is there? What else is there? Good night. We haven't got faith in a God that's going to make things work out okay. What else is left down here on this planet? I'm talking to somebody this morning. Can't see God work. I'm talking to somebody doesn't think God's hearing you. I'm talking to somebody you can't understand. And you're waiting patiently. Let me give you a little statement I love. In the Scripture, when it talks about waiting patiently on the Lord and rejoicing, there's several places in the Scripture where it likens it to opening up canned food. Now follow me carefully. My mama used to can. Remember those old-fashioned canners? It spewed and spit it on the top. They still have those. I thought, every minute, I thought the thing going to explode and
lift the roof of the house off. And split it on top. My mama would put some green beans in those things. Or maybe she'd make some preserves. Oh, my soul. Hot biscuits and bread and butter and preserves. Glory to God. You can see God working then. You don't have to say, why aren't you doing nothing? Why are you doing? And in the cold winter time, with no garden and no food, we'd go to the little closet and open up. That's what God is talking about. God says, can some joy. So when you get to the place where you don't have any joy, it's working up inside, open a can of it. Just open a can of it. Brother, God's done so much for me in my life. Oh, how I praise His name today. God's done so much for me in my life. Whenever I get to the place where I don't think I have anything about to rejoice today, I just go to God's pantry and give me a can of joy and open it up and start a shouting, having a spell, having a fit. Fine! I got some joy all canned up! I mean, God's been so good to me through these 58 years of life. I got a heap of joy canned up. And brother, I could go without a blessing from God for 10 years and still shout. Why? Because the pantry's full of canned joy. That's what it's talking about here. Can the joy and open it. Wait patiently. Wait patiently. I'm talking to somebody this morning that's beyond those stages. Some of you say, Lord, why are you doing nothing? And the Lord says, I can't tell you what I'm doing right now. I can't. I'm working, but now you've got to trust me. Live by faith now. But some of you are past that. Some of you are saying, Lord, you never answer a prayer. You don't listen to me. You don't hear me. Lord, listen to me. I don't know how you feel. You have as hard time getting God's attention as I do getting yours. I know exactly how you feel. Listen to me. The Lord doesn't seem to answer. The Lord says, look, I'm going to answer. I'm working now. I can't tell you what I'm doing. But others of you are being punished. And you this morning are under the chastening hand and chastening rod of your God. Rejoice in it. Brother, every time my mama went out in the backyard and got a limb off that peach tree, we had one peach tree in our backyard. Never had one peach on it. No limb ever lasted long enough to bear a peach. And I bear on my... We had short breeches back in those days. And until you were 10, you didn't wear long breeches. And that's where they got the term hot pants. Because, boy, my mama would go out and get one of those little old limbs off that peach tree. And I can see her taking those leaves off. And those leaves just take all the buffer away. And she'd come back in there and say, whack on me! There's one thing I always knew. She is the mama. Mama never spanked anybody else's kids. She never did. She didn't have to. She kept so busy on me. But I was her child. And I want to say this morning to you, it may be God's spanking you a little bit. And it may be this morning you're like Habakkuk, who said, this beats nothing. Lord, I didn't even know you was up there. Boy, when you whacked the fire out of me, I said, yep, he's still there. I've told you this on occasion. Downtown district used to be something. Downtown district have not always been the thriving metropolis you have down here. I love the mayor. I think he's a fine young man. I love the city council. I think some of them are good men. But I've been trying to figure out who's going to walk on this sidewalk over here they put on State Street. I mean, I just really try to figure that out. Who's going to walk on it? We may just buy that whole street over there, sidewalk. Anyway, it was a day when downtown districts were bustling and thriving. This one is too. We have customers pouring down here. We had four people pour in one store down here last month. But you know, my mom and I'd go downtown and we'd shop. Didn't have shopping centers.
had little neighborhood stores and downtown, that's all. We'd go on the Lisbon bus, take the Lisbon bus till we got to the corner of Elmore and Ewing and Hobson, and get off and transfer to the Trinity High streetcar. And the Trinity High streetcar would take us over to Jefferson Street, and we'd transfer to the Sunset streetcar. The Sunset streetcar took us downtown Dallas. Had some store, a place called Grand and Silver's Five and Dime Store. Cress's, McCrory's, big Five and Dime store downtown. But at Grand and Silver department store, they had a little counter where they sold malted milks. 5 cents per malted milk. We never could afford a malted milk. But I noticed that some folks didn't drink all theirs. Wait till I get there, please. And my mama would be looking around and by the way, nobody ever had one pair of shoes per person in those days. And if you had your shoes repaired, you didn't take them down to the shoe store and leave them. You went down to the shoe store and sat in a little booth there, like a penalty box in hockey. You sat there in that little place while they're fixing your shoes, because you didn't have any others to wear. And you sat there while they half-soled your shoes. And my mom would be getting her shoes half-soled. That means she couldn't come after me. And while she's getting her shoes half-soled, I tipped over to that counter where they sold. I can still see it. Irving Street came out down beside it. It was just at that little side door going out Irving Street. And I'd look at those malted milks, and I'd find some fellow drank his, left about that much. I looked back to Mama. She was busy getting her shoes half-soled. And I'd drink the rest of his. I drank everything I could find left over in every glass. And Mama would say, "Hey, Jack, come here. Come here, son." And I'd keep on walking away. And Mama would finally, she'd say, "Okay, I'll teach him a lesson." And my Mama would go hide somewhere, get down and hide somewhere. And I'd go over and drink all the excess malted milk I could find. And look at that candy counter. To me, there's nothing like a candy counter in a Five and Dime store, just to look at it and smell it, hoping that someday I could own one of those pieces for myself. That prayer has been answered time and time and time again. And Mama would hide. And after a while, I'd look, and Mama's gone from the shoe store. And I'd look, and I couldn't find her. Giant store. I mean, hundreds of people there all the time. Store went all the way through the whole block. I mean, like from Sibley to State. Giant thing. Twice the size of this auditorium probably. Well, there are probably 500 mommies in that one building. Mommy! I want my mommy! And then my mama would come out behind a big old pillar or something, or out behind a counter. She said, "You come here to me." She took me to the restroom. I was just a little boy about that high. Always irritated me because she took me to the women's restroom. That's the only one she could go to, and I always hated to do that. And she'd take me in there. She'd lower some of my clothing in. And she'd whack the fire out of me. Now, folks, I felt the pain of both. I felt the pain of being spanked. And I felt the pain of wondering if I still had a mommy. You give me the spanking any day. You give me the spanking any day. Now, back I came and said, "Dear God, why aren't you doing anything?" God said, "I am. Trust me. Live by faith." "But what are you doing?" "I can't tell you what I'm doing. I can't do it. But I'm working." "Revive your work. Start working again." "I can't. I'm working now, Habakkuk." "Well, what are you doing?" "I can't tell you." "Well, won't you hear me?" "I do hear you." "Won't you answer me?" "I can't tell you why I don't answer you. You got to trust me." Habakkuk said, "Okay, I'll wait patiently." We all know the story about the little boy flying a kite. Whatever happened to kites? Little boy flying a kite. And it was a cloudy, the clouds were low that day, and the kite got so high, it got up in the cloud. Little boy couldn't see it. He was standing there holding the end of it. A fellow came by and said, "Son, what you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "Can you see it?" "No, sir." "I can't either. How do you know it's up there?" The little boy grinned and said, "Because I can feed it fully." You say, "Brother Howells, has God answered all your prayers?" "Not yet, no." "You always see God work?" "No, not always see Him work." "You know He's working?" "Yeah, I know He's working." "You know it's there?" "Yeah, I know it's there." "How do you know?" "Because I can feel Him pulling." He loves you this morning. And behind the scenes, He's working for your good. You're His child. And He's doing everything He can to make it see that it's going to work out okay. Now look, don't rush it. You may get it before it's done.
"I want them biscuits now."
You may get them while they're still dough. She may throw them in your face. God said, "It's not done yet. It's not done yet.
Do something."
"I'm doing something."
"Answer."
"I'm going to."
"Oh, why are you doing nothing?"
"I'm not doing nothing. I'm doing something."
"What are you doing?"
"I can't tell you now. But you'll know." And then He came and took His rod of chastening. Took it and placed it on the hind side of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk said, "Blessed be God." Glory to God. He jumped up and down, clapped his hands, began to spin around. He said, "Praise God. At least I know He's there." But John Rice and I were sitting together years ago in a Howard Johnson's restaurant. Everything was quiet for a while. Dr. Rice was quiet. Usually he'd take his fingers and put them up on the table and do like that. That meant he was thinking about something really important. He'd do his fingers like that. And I said, "Dr. John, what are you thinking about?" He said, "God is going to use Dr. Tom Malone mightily, I guess." Well, the truth is, Dr. Tom Malone is going through the heartache of his life, the burdens of his ministry. And I said, "Well, why do you say that?" "Well," Dr. John said, "He's getting him ready. He's getting him ready. And God might not be speaking right now because He might be getting you ready. And God's hand of judgment might be on you right now, and His rod of chastening might be against you right now. He might be just getting you ready." And so this morning, if you look up and say, "Dear God, why are you doing nothing?" God looks down and says, "I'm not doing nothing. I'm never doing nothing. I'm always doing something. Revive your work, Lord. Don't have to. I'm working now. I'm doing my work."
"I don't understand it."
"You don't have to understand it. You just believe I'm up here." And you just believe the answer's going to come. And I'll guarantee you all that's necessary is if every once in a while, dear God, and I say this to Him often and you do too, I say, "Dear God, if every once in a while, just let me feel your pulling. Let me feel your pulling. As long as I can feel the little pull, I'll know you're there." God is still on His throne. And God still works. And God still answers prayer. Just keep on praying. Life breakthrough. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till life breakthrough. Our Heavenly Father, give faith and courage to our people today. Thank You for the healing of our brother. And thank You that the tumor is gone. And thank You that Brother Steve finds it very easy to know You're working today. But dear God, You're working last week when he was shredding too. And help us to believe that You're working. And then, dear Lord, when you come to chasten us, we'll praise God because you know you're our Father. Take whatever part of the sermon each person needs and apply it this morning in a special way. Our heads are bowed.